Hello, this is Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. And today's message came to me early this morning in just a few minutes, but it is a message that spoke clearly to my heart, and I hope it does to yours as well. The message is entitled today, All is Well in God's Kingdom. We are at the end of the last days in which Jesus is going to be returning. And you may remember Matthew 24 saying a lot of crazy things will happen before then. But Jesus guaranteed us that the gospel would be preached and then the end would come. The only refuge we have from the storms of life is in the kingdom. Jesus said he would leave us with his peace. And this is not the kind of peace that the world speaks of. We're talking about the peace that comes with faith. And that's the peace that passes all understanding. And it's the peace that's only left to those who put their trust in God. As Isaiah 26:3 says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. That's the only place where you can say all is well, is because you're with God, your mind is with God, and you're lined up with his plan and purpose. Now, when the Lord began speaking this to me, all he said this morning was all is well. And then he took me to the scripture in the Old Testament in which the Shunammite woman was given a child. And you may know this story, but I will read part of it because there's some powerful things in here. When this Shunammite woman's child died, she never said that the boy was dead. She never acknowledged that he had died. She simply put him in the room of the man of God and told her husband, send me someone, we're going to go see the man of God. And he was saying, it's not the Sabbath, not a new moon, it's not the time to go to church, is basically what he was saying for a sacrifice. But she said, it shall be well. You know, you'll find this story in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 8 through 37. So she went to the man of God, and he asked her, what is wrong? Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And all she answered was, it is well. And this is amazing because how many of us could actually say it is well after witnessing a child dying? But this was the woman's faith speaking. She didn't sit around and say, my child is dead. She didn't panic. She just spoke words of faith. It shall be well. And then when she saw the prophet, she said, it is well. And you have to understand that our words are powerful. You can tell what somebody believes in a tragedy by the words that they speak. You know, some people will be speaking death, others will be speaking life. So depending on what's in us, it will come out during a tragedy. It always does. So if somebody starts cursing and flipping out and saying all kinds of manner of evil, that's what they're going to get. Why? That's what they have faith for. But if somebody stops and says, all is well, it's well, God's got this, not with vain words, because that's vain faith. It's faith that's based on nothing. That's just hopeful thinking. But when you know in your heart of your hearts, you're God, and you know what he is and what he can do, and you say, it is well, coming out of your spirit, and that's what this woman was speaking, then you know all indeed will be well. So she knew, though, that she couldn't just speak the words. She put legs under her faith and took action. She went to the prophet. She knew that for her words to come to pass, to raise her son up, she needed God. This is not something that she could do in ordinary words. She needed God. And God had produced the miracle of giving her a son in the first place. So she knew, if God gave him to me, God can return him to me. And this is a powerful thing coming from a woman who had experience with God. Because if we go back to the beginning of the story or how she got the son to begin with, it was because of her service. It's because of her offering, as the Lord told me. It was her offering that got her the son in the first place. And this is a powerful concept in God's kingdom. And this is how you can solidify the word of God and the promises of God to come to pass in your life. It's by the offering. Now, in church, we think of offering as being money, what we put in the offering plate. But it's much, much deeper than that. Because Romans 12:1 tells us that we need to give our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. It's an offering to God for his service. And that's what we're supposed to do. And that's what's expected of us as Christians. So when we look at our offerings, the monetary offerings we give, that's just a representation of our heart and our mindset to give everything we have to God. So we give him our money, we give him our time, we give him our bodies to do his will. And that's what's expected of us. And so for a person to really truly know that all is well, I'm hearing this in my spirit again, coming out of my spirit, you have to give all to God. And then you will know indeed, because you know that there's nothing left, there's nothing more to give. So now it's all you've done to do to stand against whatever the enemy is doing to you. So what is left next is for you just to trust God to do the rest. And that's what this woman did. Because if you go to the beginning of the story of 2 Kings 4 and 8, Elisha had passed Shunem. And every time he was there, he passed this home of this great woman. She had money. She had substance. And she would constrain him. She would make him come in and eat something. And he did this so often that she talked to her husband and said, "Listen, I perceive that this is a holy man of God that passes by continually." She said, "Let us make a little chamber. And I pray thee on the wall, and let us set up for him there a bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he comes to us, that he shall turn in there." So she was thinking about, this is a holy man of God. He comes here, she feeds him, but she's saying, I need to do more. So her first offering was to give him bread. Did Jesus talk about if you give a cup of water to a righteous man, there's a blessing that will not be taken from you? And so she's giving a piece of bread to the prophet, the man of God. But then she says, no, I want to give more. I perceive that he's on God's business. And if I could put words in her mouth, that's what she's saying to her husband. Let's build a chamber so that he can rest in between his visits. And so her offering goes from just bread to opening up her home and building a chamber and setting stuff in the chamber that will make him comfortable. And this is a powerful statement of her faith and her dedication to God, is that she was willing to do for God because she honestly believed the man was doing the right things of God. And that's what put her in the place of knowing, even when tragedy hit her later, that all is well. Now, the story continues where she's done such a great deal. And this is the beginning of the story again, where Elisha asks his servant Gehazi, he says, "Hey, what can I do for this woman?" So he brings the woman before him and he says, "What can I do for you? You know, shall I speak to the king for you or the captain of the military host?" And she said, "I dwell with my own people," meaning I don't need all that. I'm okay. And then she left it alone. But then he asked Gehazi, "What can I do? What does she need?" And he says, "She has no child and her husband is old." And he says, "Well, call her." And he called to her and she stood in front of the prophet. And he said, "About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son." And she didn't believe him at first. So don't lie to me, man of God. But she did. It happened. She conceived according to the word of God that came out of the mouth of Elisha. And it happened again because of her faithfulness to give. It was given back to her. And this is a powerful, powerful principle in the kingdom. Whatever you give is given back to you. Luke 6:38 says, "Be given back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Will men give to you?" But there's a bigger principle going on here. And that is what God does when he gives to us as we give. And this is going back to not just monetary offerings, but our time, our service. When you give to the men and women of God that you know, when you give to the ministries that you know. And a lot of these people are out here working and using all their resources that they have, and then some they don't have, trying to do the will of God. So whatever you give will be given back to you. But the Bible says something else too. Again, this is an offering, that as every man purposes in his heart, to let him give, not grudgingly of necessity, because God loves a cheerful giver. This woman not only cheerfully gave to the prophet her bread, her sustenance, she clearly gave him her home. So she went from a substance that she had to her home. So how many of us will go that distance? Not only putting an offering plate, but invite somebody to your house for dinner. Not only invite them for dinner, let's say somebody's coming to town and God puts on your heart, open up your door to have them live with you, have them stay with you for a period of time. So these are the things that we offer to God. But he said in 2 Corinthians 9:8, it says, "And God, when you give like this, God is able to make all grace abound towards you." Let me stop there. All grace. That means grace in your health, grace in your wealth, grace in your healing, grace to deal with your children. And that grace is God's supernatural power to overcome anything that you're facing in life. And this is important. It says, "God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, Trust me, people, we need to have all sufficiency in all things in these end days. All sufficiency in health and healing, and be able to give to others as they give to us, and to be able to take care of our families and our neighbors and those around us. So this is where God wants our heart to be. And when we're in this place of giving, and God's giving back to us his grace, then we know not only we have all sufficiency in all things, that we can abound to every good work. So God doesn't just give to us so that we can have for ourselves. He gives to us so that we can be a witness to others, whether it's giving to be a witness, or they see us recovering from a health situation or recovering from a financial situation. When God supernaturally intervenes in our life, it's a message to the world that God is alive. And what it does is it gives people the faith to believe, if God did that, he can do this. If he can do that for you, he can do something for me. So this is how we become witnesses. But then God also takes it another step further. He says, he will minister seed to the sower. So whatever we sow, he's going to minister even more upon that and multiply our seed sown and minister to us bread for our food. So as we give, he takes care of us. As we give to take care of somebody else's necessities, he takes care of ours. So as she took care of the necessities of the man of God who traveled back and forth past her house, and obviously she was a great woman, so she had great substance, but she had no fear giving of that substance to the man of God. So when time came that she needed something, God gave back to her sufficiently in an overflow. And that's the important part. And also what happens when you do this, it enriches the whole prosperous flow of bountifulness, sufficiousness. It's that abundant life Jesus talks about that comes as we give is received back. As we give is received back. And this kind of ministry causes thanksgiving to God, because when you're giving to people who have a need, and they may not know God, but when they see God bless you and you bless them and you keep giving to them and they see you giving to others, it gives thanksgiving to God. So as this woman was doing what she was doing, she was increasing her righteousness, increasing her seed, increasing her food in her house, and increasing the grace of God upon everything she had and everything she did. And that included her son. So she indeed could say, all is well. Her child may be dead, but all is well. As she told her husband, it shall be well, because she knew the grace of God toward her to give her that son. If God gave her that son when she gave to the man of God, what more could God do than bring him back to her as she believes in him? And this is the way it is. And we have to understand, this is how God deals with us, because this is how God is. As John 3:16 says, so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. She gave up of her love and concern out of charity for the man of God, and God gave back to her a child. She may not have thought about it. She may not have thought it was possible because her husband was old, but God gave her. So because he gave her, he was not going to take it away from her. But we have to understand, this is a principle that God established when he said, for God so loved that he gave. So when we give out of love, then we are imitating our Father, and we can expect that everything will be well because we're giving honor and glory to him, and his grace abounds toward us for every good work, everything we need to do in this life. So this is how our offering works. It's not about money. It's about an offering that comes from the heart, a heart of love to help one another, to show honor to God, to help him in his service, and to advance his kingdom. So again, that includes our time, our talents, and our money, because as we give, he gives back to us. And that's a promise. And we love God because he loves us, and we love him and his people, and we love his promises as well. This type of giving is our offering, and we see an example of this in the Old Testament also with King Solomon. It says in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 that after Solomon went up to the altar before the Lord, and he offered 1,000 burnt offerings. And God appeared to Solomon in the night and asked, what shall I give thee? That's amazing. This is the same question that the prophet asked of Shunammite woman when she did what she did in opening her doors to him and setting up a chamber. And this is amazing. There comes a type of offering that you can give to God that he says, what can I do for you? What do you want? And I've been there, and it's unexpected because you're doing what you want to do for God, but you're not thinking about getting anything in return. And he'll say, what can I do for you? And the first time that happened to me, I'm like, Lord, I don't need anything. That's okay. I just want to give. And he says, no, I have to give back to you. And I said, okay. I couldn't think of anything I wanted. Kind of like the Shunammite woman. Couldn't think of anything. When I told the Lord, I said, surprise me. And he did. He surprised me with an article of clothing that I didn't know that I wanted, didn't think about getting it, but he sent it to me. He gave it to me. It's like, okay, thank you, Lord. It was something above anything I would have chosen, but that's how God will do it. Once you do something for him out of a heart of love, he responds with, what can I do for you? And that's what God said to Solomon after Solomon gave 1,000 burnt offerings. And Solomon responded, thou hast shown great mercy upon David my father, and has made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great? Now that's Solomon putting himself out there. He's saying to God, okay, God, I have this position for my father, but you made all these big promises to my father, but you can sense strongly he's saying, this is a multitude of people. This is a great number of people. I don't know what to do. So give me wisdom and knowledge that I may be able to do the right thing in this position. So what Solomon was doing is making an offering of himself to God, offering his gifts, his talent, his position, which came from God. He was offering it back to God and saying, show me what to do. And here was God's response. And this is in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto you, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. And that's what God was telling Solomon. Because you didn't ask for these things, I'm going to give to you. Ooh, Jesus. Mm-mm-mm-mm. And I'm hearing in my spirit, there's Proverbs 8. I'm hearing in my spirit right now, and this is coming out of my spirit, Proverbs chapter 8, and this is about wisdom. Verse 20, this is wisdom speaking. I lead in the way of righteousness and in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasuries. And what is interesting is when Solomon went for wisdom, out of the goodness and love of his heart for God and God's people, God poured out wealth and riches on Solomon. He gave him wisdom, but he also gave him riches. He gave him what he asked for, but then he gave him even more than that. You have to understand, this is how good our God is. And this is how we can say all is well as in the kingdom. All is well in God's kingdom. Because once you line up with his plan and his purpose, as Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek his will for your life. Seek his wisdom for how to get it done. And all the other things will be added to you. Meaning the things you want, the things you desire, the things you need, not only to get the job done, but on top of that, God adds a bonus. And for the Shunammite woman, the bonus was the son. So she knew this was a gift from God. No devil can take this from me. And I have to tell you, people, I understand this so, so powerfully well because I had this happen to me. I had prayed for a child. God gave me the child, and then the enemy tried to take the child from me. The enemy tried to take everything from me, wealth, house, everything, tried to take it from me. And I remember the word of the Lord to me was, what I have given you, no man can take. And I stand on those words daily, for whether it's a word about my destiny, a word about the property he has for me, a word about my son, my children, my marriage, whatever it is, I stand on the word of God, and then I can decree and declare no matter what it looks like, no matter what the enemy's trying to do in my life, all is well because I heard from heaven. And what God has given me, no man can take. And that's kind of what this is kind of the same spirit this woman had when her child died. And this is also how Solomon operated when he went to God. There was a fight for the kingdom. There was a fight for his father's throne. But Solomon was the one called. And I'm hearing in my spirit, oh Jesus, thank you. I'm hearing a word about President Trump. Now, people been fighting this. I tell you, people, don't be worried about President Trump and his position. God is saying whatever he spoke is coming to pass. But also, no more than that, that whatever he spoke over your life, your position, your place, the promises for you. We need to be pulling all the promises of God to ourselves right now in our spirit, pulling them and pulling them tight with our faith, saying, okay, God, bring it to us in Jesus' name. So it's not about the man. It's about the man of God in heaven, Jesus Christ, who is saying it is his time, all is well in the kingdom for those who are operating in faith, standing on the will, and standing in the word and on the promises of God, no matter what they're seeing around them. And that's, again, going back to this Shunammite woman, that's what she did. It looked like death, but God brought life. And it's interesting because if you read the story of how her son was raised, it wasn't an easy deal. Sometimes when God gives us promises and the enemy tries to fight us over those promises, it's not an immediate recovery. Sometimes it takes a longer period of faith because it's a longer fight. Because obviously the enemy was coming against this woman because she was given this miracle. And we don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us what effect that's had on her community and all of Shunammite. It doesn't tell us in that passage. But obviously, a miracle like this would get the attention of anyone. She was a great woman, well-known, well, so obviously anything God did for her, I'm sure she advertised, she spoke about, she gave God the glory. And you have to understand that the enemy will push back. The very thing that God gives us, the enemy tried to take from us. We're going to have to stand, learn how to fight and stand on what God said. Just again, I'm thinking about Abraham. Even when Abraham and Sarah wanted a son, God gave them Isaac. It looked like God was going to have even Abraham kill his own son. But no, what kept Abraham was the fact that he had a vision. He saw a vision of not only the promises coming through this boy, he remembered the word, but he saw that if God spoke it, it's going to have to happen. Even if I kill my son and have to raise him up again, it's going to happen. And that's the kind of faith we have to have in this day, because the enemy's been playing with this COVID. It's been playing with all these political games, and there's a lot of evil, wicked counsel going on around the world to stop the promises of God, which that means people of God stand up like a bulwark against this and say, no way, I believe God. I'm going to stay in peace. I'm going to stay in the word. Why? Because God is not a man. He did not lie. So you have to understand, no matter what it looks like, no matter what you hear, no matter what they're seeing on television, no matter what you hear coming out of presidential people, politicians, whatever, I don't care. What did God say? And he's saying now, all is well in the kingdom. So you have to keep that in mind, which means what he spoke to you is coming to pass. What he has for you is coming to pass. Whatever he's spoken of your children, of your life, of your destiny, it is coming to pass. All we have to do is walk it out and hang on, because that's what it takes. And when Elisha went to raise up the young child, he put his mouth on the child's mouth, his eyes on the child's eyes, and his hands on the child's hand. He stretched himself upon the child, and the child got a little warmer, but the child didn't raise up. So he went back and forth, and he did it again. And then once he did it again, and we don't know how many times he did it, but it said the child sneezed 7 times and his eyes opened. And it's interesting because he put his eyes on the child's eyes, his mouth on the child's mouth, his hands on the child's hand. And that's pretty much symbolic, prophetically, if you look at it. For us to have a resurrection of what God has that we thought was dead, we have to see what God sees, speak what he speaks with his mouth, and our hands have to be busy doing the work he's told us to do. Now, that's the formula for staying in faith. Seeing our eyes with where his eyes are, our mouth where his mouth is, and our hands where he's told us to be doing his will in the earth. And then we will know indeed all is well, because God will not forsake the labor of your hands. He will not forsake the honor you give to him as you're offering to his servants out here. And he will honor his word. Above all, he honors his word. And we have to understand that he did not lie. The word he spoke will come to pass in our lives. And also you have to understand, when God speaks, his word is an incorruptible seed. It's a seed that cannot be destroyed. It cannot die. You know, we can walk away from it, but it's still out there. We can do whatever we choose to do if we choose not to have faith. But the word of God is going to come to pass in some way or another for someone. It may not be for us if we walk away, but it's like God told me a long time ago, if you don't do what I tell you to do, I'll find somebody more faithful. And that's it, because the word has to come to pass. The word's more important than Paula. It's more important than anybody out here, because it's about God. And in this day, it's about him and his glory coming to pass. And that means no man is going to take his glory. And that means no man is going to stop it, but no man is of his, or no man of God or woman of God is going to be able to steal the thunder from God in this hour, because he's coming in full power to deliver the promises himself. So this is a powerful word. As God says, all is well in the kingdom. And I wanted to give you encouragement. to have you go back and pull up whatever is dead in your life, whatever you thought was dying, your dreams and destiny. Pull it all out, put it before God, put your eyes where His eyes are, get your scriptures, put your mouth where His mouth is, put that word He gave you in your mouth, speak it day and night. The word of God is medicine. Take if things around you are sick, if it's dying, you speak it 3, 4, 5 times a day, whatever God tells you. That's what they do in the medicine Bibles, tell you take it 3 times a day. Speak it 3 times a day, morning, noon, and night. That was one of the things that David did when he praised God. Morning, noon, and night, and get it in your system, get it in your spirit so that thing starts kicking up and it's alive again and it's jumping inside of you. And then you will see it to come to pass. So I wanted to encourage you, let you know that all is well. God is going to do what He said He's going to do. You're going to see what He says He'll see. And we're in the most powerful time in God's kingdom. We're in the most powerful time in the United States of America and the nations of the world right now. No matter what it looks like, all of this has been deception. All of this has been the lie of the devil. Everything you've been seeing and hearing, it's been to throw you off so you would have no faith in God. But that's what's going to take to get back to God is our faith. That's the thing that overcomes the world, our faith. And our faith is not just empty words, but it's speaking back to God what He spoke to us and standing on it no matter what. Faye, I hope this was an encouragement to you. It surely got me going this morning when the God said, all is well, because those are powerful words. And I pray that indeed you take these words and hold on to them, put them in your heart. Go back and read these scriptures. Go back and pull out your promises and just meditate day and night. Meditate on it day and night. Then you will be prosperous and have good success because God is not a liar. He wants to bring this to pass so that this is a witness to the world that God is alive doing what He always has done and He can do it in their lives as well. So again, Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe saying God bless you, God keep you, and know that all is well in the kingdom. Until next time.